I said, why don't you take that golf trolley up to Charles Hurst and see what they give you to trade him for it? Welcome to the Terry McHugh Show, and you might be able to tell from the background noise that this is a Nothing Funny Happened on the Way to the Gig episode. I'm on my way to Coleraine on the 7th of March to tell jokes opening for Neil Delamere on his tour. And it's been a very quiet week for me. I haven't done anything. And so, you know, and if you listen to this, you'll know that I record this in one take. Nothing gets edited out, nothing gets cut. I just talk and we see what comes out. So there might not be an awful lot to tell you about this week because I have literally done nothing. At all good intentions, on Tuesday, I was going to get up early on Tuesday, and I was going to go for a run. I actually sat with an app and mapped out a run and how long it was going to be and all the rest. And while I'm doing that, I'm genuinely thinking, Ty, what happened to you? And I had this run, so I was going to run from my house in the Oma, round Oma a bit, and then back to my house, and it was going to be just, I think it was 14 miles, it was working out, it was all geared up, right, going to do it, I'm going to go to bed early on Monday, and I'll get up on Tuesday and I'll do that. But, you see, I was off last week, so I had no gigs, no work, no nothing, so I did a lot of drinking, if I'm honest with you. My mate came down to the house on Friday night for a few beers, and a game of darts. I have a dartboard in the bar, which sounds ridiculous. I have a dartboard in my bar. And my mate he wanted to come down for a night of darts and board games. So he landed down, and we thought, well, we'll go around the driving range first. We'll go hit a few golf balls first. And we went off to Oma driving range. And you see, we're from Belfast, so we're used to everything being contactless. You know, you leave the house, all you need is your phone. Tap away your happy days. So we were expecting to go up to this thing and for there to be a card machine, tap it, put it balls, whack them. And we got there, and there was a card machine, but it was out of order. And of course, in today's cashless society, we had no coins. And I was in Mr. McHugh's car, and he said, oh, come on, he says, Trish is bound to have coins in the car. So I went over to the back of the car and checked. To be honest with you, if the machine had taken holy medals, we could have sat whacking balls for the next 2 weeks. You know, I mean, stick a Padre Pio medal in, you would have got 100 balls easy. So then we're standing, there was these other two at the driving range, we're like, well, we asked them if the coins, I have a £5 note here. And thankfully, luckily, they had, I just went over a dead badger and I could hear it hit the bottom of the car, and that could still be under the car by the time I get home. And I can't believe it. Oh, Jesus. So, but thankfully, these had £10 coins, so we swapped them for a fiver and got our balls, and away we went. Whacking balls at his raving range. I love it. There's nothing like it. You know, just not a care in the world, just hitting balls, chatting shade to your mate. And the problem with going to driving, you see, I do golf occasionally. I have golf bats and a golf bag, and I've got a load of balls that I bring with me. And my ambition in golf isn't to, you know, be going around, you know, under par or just slightly over par. My goal in golf is to start at the first tee and end at the 18th green with the same ball that I started with. I swear to God, I go through a minimum of 10 balls around. Minimum. And that's why I only buy lake balls. You know, you get 100 balls for 30 quid, you know, you've spent 30p a ball, so when you put one in a bush, you know, I was at Cliftonville Golf Course, and it's the ninth tee, and I know all the lingo, and I teed off, and it's kind of, I don't know how I managed to do it, because like, I was trying to hit the ball one way, it went 90 degrees in the opposite direction from where I was facing, and well, it can't go 90 degrees the opposite way because that would be 180 degrees. It'd be a math lesson for you there. But it went 90 degrees to the left over a fence, and it hit something fucking hard. and I'm not too sure what it hit, but it didn't smash. I didn't hear a smash to crash. I thought, right, that's okay. And then I thought to myself, well, whatever's over there, they're close to a golf course, they've probably got really good insurance. But I remember that day, it was the same tee box my mate, he took out, because he's big into it, right? He's big into his golf. I remember keeping him going years ago. We'd only really just passed our test. You know, when you pass your test, you get a wee puddle jumper to keep you going. So he had this wee Ford Fiesta, cracking wee car. He loved it, and I'm sure he'd love to get it back wherever it is. I hope that car's still on the road. But he bought this golf cart thing, not golf cart, wee golf buggy, wee golf trolley thing. And it was motorized, and you got a remote control with it, and there was a button you could press on the remote control, and the golf trolley just automatically followed you wherever you went. And I always loved the idea of slipping that into some other golfer's pocket and putting a thing on it, him walking around the golf course with this phantom golf trolley just following him around the course. And I remember keeping him going. He was giving us a car, a new car, because he'd had a kid that was only a 2-door car, and then he was like, you know, it's a nightmare getting out of a 3-door car and all the rest, and just a new car without having the money. And I remember saying to him, I says, here, why don't you take that golf trolley up to Chargehurst and see what they give you to trade in for it? Because that cost him more than the car. But he's big into his golf, and he's been fitted for clubs and all the rest. And that's his thing, and for, you know, I'm not taking a piss out of him, he loves it, and the thing is, though, he goes out, he's out most weekends, so, you know, he justifies the spend. But we were standing out there, and I just lost a 30p ball, probably wrecked someone's car or something with it. And he goes, you know what, I'm going to take out a good ball here. And he took out, I don't know what the hell it is, you know, Titleist, fucking pro gold, you know, 7 or something, I don't fucking know. And he hit it, and it just went straight into the hedge that was beside the tee box. Straight into it. Such a velocity that it was never coming out. And he just looked at me and went, there goes 15 quid. And I was just looking at him, he was laughing at me. I said, see if I just lost a ball that cost me 15 quid because I had a bad golf shot and couldn't explain why I had it, I'd be in tears. I'd just go home. And he says, oh, someone bought me. I was like, if someone bought me 45 quid's worth of golf balls, just 3 in a box, I would never use them. I'd probably stick them on eBay and then buy something I can use. But went to driving range, and I went to driving range, and, you know, you start off, you just, you know, a few late shots, you know, don't be going full whack, you know, just sort of get into the swing of it. And considering I haven't hit a golf ball in anger in over a year, and they're all going relatively straight, and, you know, and then I took the driver out and it was straight and distance and all the rest. I was going, oh, this is brilliant. And that's what I realised, I'm really, really good at golf until someone puts like trees and sand and hills in the fucking way. And then so whacked away, and then there was like a wee basket about 75 yards out, this basket that obviously you can aim for. And I says, right, we've got 10 balls left each. I says, well, just see if someone can land it in that basket. And as I said, Don's been playing golf for years, he's good at it. I don't play golf, I go out for an angry walk, and it's the most frustrating game in the world, because you're playing it and you're shit at it, and you go, I'm never playing this game again. And then you hit a perfect shot, and all of a sudden you think you're going to make it onto the PGA Tour, and you're like, right, let's go. But it doesn't matter how many good shots I hit, and I have hit good shots, I've hit some cracking putts of great drives and all the rest of it, I couldn't tell you what I'd done to hit that great shot. It's just, and when I hit a bad shot, I was like, I wish I knew what I'd done wrong, and I wish I would have done right. It's the stupidest game in the world. But anyway, so we're chipping towards this basket, and he's really good at it, and I was getting closer than he was, and I sort of got the range and all, and was like, I reckon I've got this. And then I realised, if I put that ball in that basket and Dan didn't, that was going to ruin the whole night. In fact, if I'd have put that ball in that basket, he would have stayed there until he put the ball in the basket. Like, you'd have been sitting there going, right, come on mate, you've worked in half an hour here, when we go. Neither was put in the basket, but it was just, it's nice, just out, no crack. Although I tell you what, they could do with a couple of heaters on it, you know, heated bays, home driving range, think about it. So then jumped the car back home, and into the beer, started on the beers. He was fair putting them away, and was just, right, let's go out and play darts. So we got the two boys, and we said, let's play darts. So we did, what did we do to start? Oh, we did singles, where it was just all four of us from 301 down. I won the first game, I think, and then didn't win another one the rest of the night. And then we had a tournament where it was, you know, semi-finals, final. Dom beat me, and then I was playing the 16-year-old in the sort of third, fourth place playoff, or the last place playoff, as I called it. And, you know, you can't have your teenage son beating you at anything, let's be honest. You know, he's already got a better social life than me, and he can sit playing PlayStation all he wants, and he doesn't have a care in the world, so he's beat me at life already. So I couldn't have him beat me at darts, but I beat him, that was no bother. And we weren't having the finish on doubles and stuff, because a game would still be there. And so I beat him like a third, and then Dan and Patrick played in the final. I think Dan won. Dan was the inaugural Terry's Bar World Darts Champion of Champions. And then I was solar light in the bar. And we'd been out there for 4 or 5 hours, so we ran out of juice, bang, we're in darkness. I was like, oh, what are we doing now? I was like, we'll go inside and play board games. But before we went in, we invented the greatest game ever. So I sent, so I'll have one more round of darts. Like, so I sent Patrick into the house, he went and he got a lamp, and we shone that on the dartboard. So we played on for a wee bit, and then Dan went up to take I don't know what you call it, a shot? Is it a shot in darts? He went up for a dart throw. And I turned the lamp out for a laugh just as he threw the dart, and then he went, oh my god, this is a game. And we invented drunk dart darts, and drunk dart darts is the greatest game I have ever played. So here's how you play drunk dart darts if you want to play drunk dart darts at home. So you need a very, very dark room. You stand, you're allowed to get to the hockey, so you know you're behind the hockey, which is the line on the ground you're not allowed to stand over, which again was a bone of contention. You know, you're sort of sitting there going, well, you know, how far over the line are you allowed to lean? And it was like, well, what defines the lean? And that just made me think of the Sopranos line, what define a fidget. So you're ready to get to the hockey, and then the lights went out and it was dark, and you threw your dart, and then you used like your torch it up and you were at the hockey because lights didn't go back on, and you threw, and so you went on and you all threw a dart in the dark while two of us were drunk, and then you turned the light back on, and whoever was closest to the bullseye won drunk dart darts. And then we changed the rules a wee bit, and we went right with the drunk dart darts again. And the way this one worked was, again, lights out, up, right, hockey's out, dead on with your torch, don't look at the board, right, ready, go, throw your dart. We all do it in pitch black, light comes back on, and whoever had the highest score won that round of drunk dark darts. And I'm telling you, it is the greatest game in the world. And I'll tell you, even better, you'd think there might be injuries at that. You'd think that you should really call that game Trip to A&E Darts. But no one got injured, and it was great crack. And I can't wait to play drunk dark darts again. I actually can't wait till my kids are old enough to drink so they can play with me. So yeah, drunk dark darts, we invented that over the weekend. So anyway, so that was Friday night, and then Saturday night we sat in the house. Went for a run on Saturday, ran for an hour, got 10k under me, because I'm training for this marathon. I've noticed the enthusiasm's wearing off a wee bit. So Saturday I'm sitting in the house, no intent, no plans of drinking, none of it, sitting there. And then Mrs. McHugh announced that the GAA club around the corner was having a pub quiz, table quiz. Now I love an out table quiz, because I'm good at them, basically. And it started, it round, register for 8, started half 8. And I was like, I'm not going around. I don't want to go around and sit and look at the locals, because I'm not really mad keen about something. You know, it just, everybody knows everybody, and I just don't like that. You know, I like going to the bar and having a wee bit of anonymity, and you're just with the people you know. But everybody knows it when everyone's like, hello, how are you? And you get that, you're still doing comedy, and you're like, yeah. And some people say, oh, you're doing really well at the comedy, and I don't know what to say to that and stuff. You know, and you know what it is? I'm just a like an antisocial git. So she had to say, no, all right, we'll not go around. And then at 10 to 8, I went, go get ready, we're going. I went around. So it was me, there was Tricia, there was her brother-in-law, her dad, and Norfell lives around her, he's right in the sound. And we had called the team 88, for obvious reasons. And we get stuck into it, first round. Each round had 9 questions. First round, I think we got 8 right. Well, I got 8 right. One of the questions was, from what Disney movie is When You Wish Upon a Star. I was like, Pinocchio, no bother. What do you call the Taylor Swift tour? And I know that, wrote it down. And I'm sitting there, I've got three grown men looking at me going, how do you know the name of Taylor Swift's tour? And that's all right, they're grown men, but when your wife is looking at you slightly disgusted and or worried that you may be leaving her for a man, wanting to know why I know the Taylor Swift tour. Now, despite my protestations that I bought the tickets for Aaron for that, they were like, no, there's something not right here. What else did we get asked? But the other guys, they came with some crackers, like, what's the national sport of Japan? I wrote Kabuki, and I don't even know if that's a sport or if I just made up a word or if I was being slightly racist. You know, I was like, well, that sounds like a Japanese word, Kabuki. I must Google that and see if that's a sport. Listen in next week and I'll tell you. And her dad was like, no, I think it's sumo wrestling. So, you know what, you're right, that is sumo wrestling. One question, and then this is the problem with me going to GAA club quizzes, because they have to have GAA questions, and I know nothing about the GAA. Like, you know, I tell a joke about it, I don't like GAA because you get a point for missing, which offends every culture in the room, every Catholic culture in the room. But one of the questions was, in last year's Tyrone County final, who were the finalists, and for a bonus point, what was the score? And one of the guys with us, he just went, oh, no, that bang right that there. I was like, you are a genius. And what I really liked about it as well, no one had phones out. Everyone respected the, you know, no cheating. It was very honourable. What else did we get? Oh, but then there was an Irish geography round where they were asking questions about, like, you know, where in Ireland is such and such, and where in Ireland is this, and where did that happen? And I hadn't a clue. And then they produced a map of Ireland with nine numbers on it, and you had to name the counties that were numbered again. I mean, even the counties of Ulster, proper Ulster, not the six counties, I was looking at them going, I have no idea. Well, that's Antrim. I went, no, it's not, that's Down, and you're from Antrim, you clown. It's like, all right, fair enough. And so we're working away, doing all right, and we were right up at the top the whole way, and then with a bit of the Irish geography round threw us, that was a bit of a disastrous round, so we let another team in, and we finished the quiz, and it was a tiebreak between us and another team. The beautiful thing about it was we both finished on 69 points, and I went 69, and no one at the table knew what I was talking about. So it was a tiebreak question, and that tiebreak question was, how many GAA clubs are there in Ireland? Nearest to the right answer gets it right. So we just went, what, 32 counties, smaller counties, 2,200. Bang on the money. We were bang on the money. The other table went for 2,300, but we were bang on. Apparently it's 2,200. I don't know why I was weighing. And we won the pub quiz, and I had a handful of pints of Guinness. That was great. And the problem was the prize choices were either Easter egg for everyone at the table or a bottle of wine for everyone at the table, and I wasn't taking home an Easter egg. So two bottles of wine came home with us, and then on the way home we stopped off at her sister's house, and I remember drinking a whole bottle of wine, and I don't remember much after that. Apparently I went to the bathroom, came out of the bathroom, I shouted in the room they were in, I'm away home, and then vanished. And I woke up on Sunday morning rather hungover, and I wanted to just stay in bed all day, but Celtic were playing at 12 o'clock, so I had to get up. So I got up, sat and watched the Celtic game. Rangers had lost the day before. We could have went top of the league. We didn't, because we got beat 2-0, because we had a man sent off after 15 minutes who should never have been sent off, and then the most diabolical penalty decision I've ever seen went against us. Although we got a very, very soft, dodgy penalty, which we missed, because that's what Celtic do. Celtic have missed 50. Oh, near went up the road there. Celtic have missed 50% of their penalties this year. The guy that missed it has never missed a penalty in his whole career. He only signed for Celtic in January. He's there, what, month and a bit, and he's now missed the first penalty ever. So we're clearly cursed. Someone has put a curse on us when it comes to penalties. And that was like, ugh, well, that's rubbish. So then I thought, ah, it's the last day of me holidays, you know, I'm back gigging next week, I'm back to work next week. I'll have a few beers, and a few beers turn into a few more beers. So up on Monday in the work, feeling a bit worse for wear, I was like, ugh, this isn't good. And then I got home Monday from work, and Mrs. McHugh, God bless her soul, she had made dinner, and she knew that it was my first day back at work, and I was off on Tuesday, so she had a bottle of wine open for dinner, which I drank. So again, I went to bed slightly inebriated, shall we say, and woke up on Tuesday morning with a hangover and went, I am fucked if I'm running anywhere. So I stayed in my bed. I got up, took the dog out, walked him for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I went back to bed. And I lay in bed till about 1 o'clock. But the thing was, it wasn't a lie-in, because I was just sitting there feeling guilty that I wasn't doing anything. You know, I'm sitting there going, I could be writing, or I could be editing clips together for the internet, or I could be doing the hoovering, or the mopping, or the washing, or cleaning the bathrooms. You know, and I just felt bad I was doing that. So I got up at 1 o'clock, took the dog out for an hour walk. He's looking at me going, you clearly feel guilty. That dog of ours has learned to open doors, and that's alright when he's learning to open your doors, but apparently he went up to the sister-in-law's house the other day and opened her kitchen door and just went and chilled out in her kitchen for the day, which you could argue is her stupid fault for not locking her doors when she goes to work, but that's another story. And then it came about 3 o'clock, I felt really guilty, so I went out and ran for an hour. Now normally that would be the perfect time for the running joke, but this is a nothing funny happened on the way to the gig episode, so it's just me talking. So yeah, so go to Coleraine tonight, Riverside Theatre at Coleraine. Always a lovely gig. I hate the drive, but it's a nice gig. You know what's funny? This is the first nothing funny happened on the way to the gig where I'm not cursing people for having their fog lights on. So you know I'm out of turn on at this point. And I'm going to try a bit of new material tonight. I'm going to try some new jokes, what I've written. But I don't know if they're going to work. The sort of punchline to it, there's a big leap for an audience to get there, so I don't know how it'll work. But here, that's what you do when you jokes, you go out and you tell them, you see if it worked, and you think, well, tweak that and stuff. And I just wish I knew what the rule was for how many times do you tweak a bit of material before you go, I'm not doing that anymore. Because what happens with comedians is we can get stubborn with the joke where it's not working, and we go, I will make this work. You know, and you gotta know when to kill your darlings, but it's like, no, I won't. This is a good joke. It's just they're not smart enough to understand the joke. I'll get it. So, this is it's not the first time I've tried this. I've sort of played with this idea a couple of times, but I've never really went. You know, what I've done with it is I've sort of dropped the idea into the middle of a set. This is the first time I've sort of tried to structure it a bit. So, we shall see. Oh, and there we have our first fog light person. We're outside of Tyrone, but he's obviously heading back to Tyrone. And there's another one, two Tyrone people. He's obviously following him home to Tyrone. It's not foggy, people. So we'll give this a go, and we'll see how it goes. And I shall let you know. So I shall. But I am going to go on. I think I've been waffling for 20 minutes or so here. Let's see, where are we? Oh, what's this guy doing? This guy's doing 30 mile an hour when it's a 60 mile an hour. Oh, he's indicating there's obviously a turn off here I didn't know about. Oh, I'm indicating here too, funny. So I should really slow down. There we go. Let's see. Yep, there we go. I can't drive at night. It's so bad. I'm getting so old. Like, even with my full beam on, I'm like, oh no. Oh, see, that's what I mean. People are probably saying, you're not concentrating on the road, you're talking shite. I hate driving at night. I hate it. And it isn't even that dark at this point. It's sort of dusk. You know, the sun is going down and the sun's gone. It's that sort of, you know, that bit in between light. It's called dusk, Terry. You just said it. I think that's the worst time to drive. So I'm going to go. I'm going to get to Coleraine. I'm going to eat my chicken and mayonnaise sandwich that I brought with me. I'm going to eat my caramel bar, and I'm going to have my Monster Munch and my tin of Coke, and I'm going to go tell jokes, and I will let you know how the gig goes. I will let you know how the new jokes go, and I will talk to you either on the way home, or I will talk to you when I get home and I'm sitting down having another beer. Yes, I am training for a marathon and I'm drinking beer like it's going out of fashion again all of a sudden. I think the problem is, and here you can tell me if you're listening, unless you can get in touch with me on the number. Dep, you fucking idiot. You can get me on the number. It's in the notes, because I don't know the number off by heart. It's in the notes, the description of the podcast. You can let me know if I should worry about this. If there's no beer in the house, I won't drink and I won't want to drink. But if there is beer in the house and I go home and I'm sitting there after a gig and I know there's beer in the cupboard, I'll go feck it and I'll put one in the freezer and I'll have a beer. It's almost like a reward to myself. I don't know if that's a bad thing. I don't know if it's bad that I can't have beer in the house and not drink it. Is that something I should worry about? You know, should I be going to meetings, is what I'm asking you. So the number's in the notes in the description of the episode. So let me know what you think. And yeah, that's me. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go tell my jokes Hopefully have a lot of fun in Coleraine, and I shall talk to you either on the way home or when I actually get home. Well, I'm home and I'm about to sit down and have a chicken bap with salad and like spicy mayonnaise. Although that salad's probably give that a day more than it was due. So yeah, Coleraine was lovely. The new jokes kind of worked, kind of didn't work. Not really sure, but here, we'll go back out and try them again and see. Some of the old jokes didn't work, but all in all, a lovely gig. They clapped when they went to clap, laughed when they were meant to laugh, mostly. And yeah, Coleraine, always a fun gig. So I'm going to go, because as unscripted and unedited as this is, I'm not going to sit munching a chicken bap at you. And I'm going to go and have a Guinness Zero as well. I have the Guinness here already, but Mrs. McHugh didn't put it in the fridge when I messaged her to tell her to do it. But we'll forgive her for that. So I'm going to go. And don't forget this week's question. You can let me know on 07562-936-900. Do I have a drink problem? Because if there's beer in the house, I have to drink it. But if there's no beer in the house, I don't even think about having a drink. And I'm going to go. This has been the Terry McHugh Show. There's been nothing funny happening on the way to the gig. Like and subscribe. Tell your friends. And I shall talk to you again next week. And now my family think I'm mental because I'm sitting in the living room talking to myself. The things you have to do.